I think we're gonna do is possibly. Sketch this out here, so. And I know for those from the outside, this looks very college and technology centric, and I apologize for that. I'll bring in some things that apply more to those.
Only looks that way.
Screw it in the center.
So there's what I would call the traditional route to curriculum innovation that's been going on for years.
Incremental?
Yeah, incremental can be another one. Depends on who the audience is, okay? And then we have over here the accelerated, if you will, path. This really is the PPI, okay? And it's running parallel. In fact, I'm not even sure it intersects. I've done some things where we've shown some intersections going on. But what we have is an entity, which for lack of better terms, is the PPI crisis, okay? It's a technical thing. Right? So, PPI crazies are the ones that are going to go all out and all in and do whatever they think is necessary to transform higher education. Okay? You don't really care exactly what the degree programs are right now, because that's a constraint, right? We'll come back to that later. But there's, I think there are actually some people in here that aren't necessarily totally crazy, but they're getting there. Okay? And I think there's a place for those people that we will call the semi-crazy. Okay? And they can actually help with some of the transformation that could start occurring. So there are four degree options that are sitting on my desk in my office. Probably needs to go through the semi-crazy debate. Management plan or whatever, get them close to where we want to be in the future. And so we probably need, I'm thinking maybe some of the faculty fellows, or we widen the faculty fellows so that we have a group working there helping us with these new curriculum options that are springing into development. This group continues to do what they're doing, but we're actually going to focus more, give you own resources, okay? We're already working on that. And then we actually have another one. And this is for what I just call outside activities, okay? So this might be, you know, College of Education, all right? College of Liberal Arts, and there might be some people that would like to aggressively adopt some of these principles that are talked about here, but focus it on their home department, discipline, whatever, right? And so I think there's a way of further developing this. I actually think this all can be part of the polytech, if you think of the polytech in neutral terms and not being owned by the college, right? The idea of creating a new division is somehow in this mix also. Okay? And it probably can serve the needs as far as an academic home base for what is going on in all of these activities. We actually think about this question. It popped in my head earlier this morning. A lot of you know a little bit about Olin, right? In Olin College, we talked a lot about it. They've done a really good job at transforming their undergraduate curriculum. Think about this. Have they they done the same thing with their administrative structure? They have deans, they have department heads, they have provosts, they have presidents, right? They pretty much, they didn't even look at it. What if we also looked at how we organize administrative? And I know no one in this room ever said this, but, you know, I hear occasionally that we have a lot of administrative work on these companies, right? Okay. I know that's never come from anyone. You don't think that. But here's your chance. All right? Can you run all this without an administration? Can you run it with a slimmed down administration? Can you run it with some shared governance? So at some point, we probably want to think about that. I'm not suggesting you start off on that path right now. So we can delay maybe some of this. What we need from you is simply, what do you need to do in order to do your work? What assistance do you need? And we'll try and provide that. But the whole idea of, you know, how do you actually administer something that's this transformative doesn't necessarily have to be done in the world. So those are some of the crazy thoughts that I have related to administration. But that's the idea. So over here, you know, the departments are still going to be doing what they can to make curriculum changes. But what we hope to do is that there's going to be some relationship that goes on between the departments, and maybe as they mature and understand what's going on, that, you know, they'll come into this kind of circle and can help accelerate some of those things. So, and all of that was prompted because of, you know, if you look at this handout, again, there's just really good stuff in here. And if you look at the value, talk about the whole person, diversity of thinking, openness and collaboration, students' autonomy with their learning, and then you look at some of these assumptions in terms of being motivated. You've heard all this, right? And so as you go about your work, hopefully this handbook will help you to keep on framing, and so when you get into discussions, you can talk about, well, is this activity, you know, does it reach at least one of these values that we have? And so you kind of have a very, very rough framework. I'm very reluctant to advise you to start constraining yourself. But I think some of the angst we've been feeling over the last month or so is that it's like, okay, we gave you a blank paper. I'm not sure whether to make it into a paper airplane or start a fire and burn down a building, right? And, you know, there's no constraints whatsoever. That actually can be very, very scary. So we're trying to provide you at least a little bit that you can look at. Now, if you want to start talking about specific curricula, you know, you want to talk a little bit about technology, how does this impact my department? You can go to the last half of the document and start talking about some of the attributes that we might value, the learn by doing, some type of field experience. Maybe a grand challenge, the grading system. Yeah, you want to challenge the grading system. The integration with the humanities, how do you do critical thinking and problem solving, and some of those things. So those are more of the meat and potatoes. So it's kind of like two pieces. How you go about your work from this day forward, maybe this will help a little bit. And if 10 minutes after I leave, think it's bogus and want to throw it away, you won't get my view. Okay? So I'm just trying to give you my viewpoint and my thinking of where we need to be, what I have to control you to help you do your job. So that's all I really have to say. But you have to understand that there's great expectations here. So, you know, challenge yourself. Do what you can. There's a lot of goodwill and support on this campus for what you're doing. And, you know, I know at times you might be able to make it down a little bit. It seems like you're spinning your wheels or you're repeating things. That's just part of it. You have to think of yourself as a startup. And startups have fits and starts. And you're experiencing the same thing. We're doing it in the leadership. We go back and rethink it, because no one's done this before. And so that's a huge challenge. You know, just stay motivated. Know that you've got a lot of support here. Come to us as a leadership team when you need it, and we'll do the best we can to help you with your job. But at the end of the day, you are the ones who are going to decide what this new world looks like. If that isn't empowering, I don't know what it is. Do you have any questions? Anything I can do?
Yeah, Gary, so I certainly know where I fall in that diagram.
Let me guess.
So, what I'm hearing is that in the fall, and this is catching the fall, is my vision is the May of 2019, but in the fall, we could have the crazies doing something and the semis doing something and so forth, and that's perfectly okay.
What I'm saying is I'm unleashing you, because I'm going to be very frank with you. I had a lot of fear that whatever happened in the fall wasn't going to take us far enough along to transform the college. Remember, I have two hats to wear. I have the dean's hat, and I have the PPI crazies hat. But I have responsibilities in both areas. I can't allow this to collapse while we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And so the fear that I had over the last month or so is, how do we actually do this? So what I'm doing is I'm giving you permission to do whatever you want. Okay? I know something good is going to come out of it. May not advance the transformation of the college. That's okay. You have the leadership's permission to do that. Not like you need my permission, but just telling you, I'm comfortable with that. Okay? Because I know that I'm going to be able to help some of this go on. I haven't talked too much about this. We can talk about that later. If you think you're one of these people and you'd rather look and work on a specific new idea, if you want to drill down deeply in your particular department and see what you can do in real terms, then you might want to consider doing this instead of this. But you can all decide to stay here. That's your call. You have total freedom, and I want you to do anything less of it.
I asked a question about mechanics, and not to drill down to mechanics, but already there's starting to be a groundswell of movement. At least one of the local high schools have got people who are followers of the Branch Davidians. And so we want to hook some of those students in who are ready to join the cult.
Yes.
There needs to be some sort of discussion, I think, at the leadership level about how we do that. Because they're ready to listen, they're ready to drink the Kool-Aid, which seems to tell them it's okay to do.
So, if I understand what you just said.
Remember the circle?
There are students, potential students?
Yes.
That aren't going here.
Yes.
Okay. So today I had a meeting with the Pam Horn, the Dean of Admissions, and it was about the Polytechnic. And I don't know if you know about this, when you were contacted by the provost and the president, that they would like us to admit more students into the Polytechnic if we can. That's your call, right? But what we're going to do is use it as a marketing tool for the college so we can increase the overall enrollment. So if you tell us that you want 50 students, that's fine. But what's going to happen is that the December 13th, the first admission information is going out to all the applicants, right? There's going to be a lot of them that are going to be denied with options, which means that the program they went into, they're denied. But there are options of other programs that they could get into. And they one of this PPI. Okay, this is one of these. So we have to quickly get our information together to kind of describe what PPI is in the hopes that we will attract a greater number of students into the College of Technology. Now, maybe only 50 are going to be in at the beginning. Okay, again, whatever you want. There could be something, we could run some people into this piece, you know, of some of these new degree options. We haven't quite settled on that. But we only have about a month to really start working on this whole idea of how we actually recruit students into the first cohort. What'll happen is that I'm going to send out a letter with a lot of information, okay, that people as well as a hard copy, to get the students that have been admitted in the college to sign up via a crazy, what we call it, a PPI crazy. And we're going to come up with some criteria on how we bring them in to the college. We'll decision-making on how we do that. But we prefer that it was a nice cross-section. Students that have an interest in computing or construction or whatever, right? And as well as their academic ability. We want to show that it works for everyone. So if you have a certain high school, if there's a contact, you simply get them the information, which will be available here in a couple of weeks if you have it done. That's the way that you can actually go outside of the system. But you know, there's going to be a limited number, obviously, because there's only so many people who are represented by how many you want. Maybe there's two cohorts of 50, right? I mean, it could be that this right here, there's crazy number one and crazy number two, right? Going on in the fall. I don't know. And so maybe you do want to take it. That's your call. I'm not dictating you at all. I think we can overall grow the curriculum, the number of students. Then the question is right here, is how do we, Bob and I were in some disagreement over this. And she thought it was a really bad idea. I thought it was a great idea. Which is, how do we bring in other students?
Bus drive by.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a big bus, too.
So, you know, so how do we, if there's little arts students that would like to experience what's going on here, how do we actually do that? I think it's a great idea, but how do we go about doing it?
Well, your first arrow is a double, it's a bi-directional link, Gary. I mean, that was already there.
there's space in here, but that's your job. How do we do that? I'll run interference with you. I'll talk to the right people and see what I can do to help. But if you want to somehow get that going, that's part of why you can do whatever you want. Okay? If you want high tech students in here, knock your stuff out. Okay? If you want seniors at a local high school?
College credit? Why not? Okay. So that's kind of your point. Okay. Ask me more questions. So when we run these, I'm in the crazy group. I already figured that part out. I might need a different institution by the time this is over. When we go to run these crazy classes, we won't have to do any curriculum committee jumps, or will you be doing those for us, or how? What's the process?
The hang up here is that you can give them a semester experience, whether it's one credit or 15, or
right,
somewhere in between. Because you cannot leave these people out hanging to dry.
Right.
So the question is, are you going to convince me that you already know what year two is. So they will simply follow in year two, or do you want to have a safety net? And it's my job to go to each department and say whatever goes on here comes as their freshman experience. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Now I can control that in our college. I don't have that control outside.
Well, I mean, as I guess I'm not perceived as a crazy because I'm always trying to get us to structure ourselves or something, but my crazy part is I think that these experiences really have to be multi-year and it has to be integrated, so I don't see how we can not think about year two and beyond, or whether we think about it as years or we think about it as milestones they achieve and they get to do it at their own speed. Whichever one we're thinking about, I think it needs to be a coherent plan in order to get to that full transformation.
If we don't do that, they're going to feel tricked.
And I'm going to feel tricked to come here.
I'll tell you something about management theory. I promise not to put you asleep. It's very simple. It's called strength-based leadership. If you're really strong about big picture, wanting to integrate things, then you should do that. And everyone here should allow her to do that. That's her strength. If you're a crazy and you don't give a rat's what is even happening the second week, then do that, okay? Because the week you're working on is probably going to be dynamite, right? But you as a group have to understand that you all have your strengths. Give everyone that freedom. So allow them.
But that, I mean, the freedom to have, to think about 4 years is something that we, you know, we can't have 75% of people saying, no, we're only working on this semester. When I say, no, we need a 4-year or an X year program, and it needs
to. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't have that. Now, there are times when you need to talk about certain things, okay? And then, you know, that's the group dynamics. But why, you don't even have to do this in a group setting. If you have certain ideas, just go off and do it. And then come back. Do you realize that brainstorming actually doesn't work? If you haven't quite figured that out yet, brainstorming doesn't work. What you have to do is individuals go out, make up their mind about certain things, then come into the group, share your ideas, okay? And I think that might be part of the dynamics as you figured it out, or maybe you haven't, I just told you. But so, for example, look at it. You work on this passionately. You bring it into the discussions at proper times. And so when someone says, this is what we want to do in year one, you're going to say, well, I like what you're saying, but the way I see things happening in year two, it's going to cause us a roadblock. It's going to cause us an issue. You see what I mean? You simply bring that topic up, and then you talk about it, so that there is at least some talk about a smooth integration of 4 years, because I agree, at some point you have to do 4 years.
I mean,
3 years. We've also talked about a 3-year degree, which you can read about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I'd even say just looking at this is, I love each one of these on the list, but when it says 1-year experience at the end, I think 1 year is not long enough.
Right.
I mean, that's my big thing that I have to say about it. I think it should be a 3-year experience that keeps going. And, you know, if one of us is working on a 1-year experience and then I just keep saying it should be 3-year, I'm not sure how that fits together. But
you bring up a good point. So I'm wanting to use this term. I'm not attached. You look at some of those on the list, I'm actually attached to them. Which means that if you think it's a bad idea, you just need to convince me that it's not. Okay? That's it. Because I think that my real expertise is in technology education. Okay? And I've studied this for years. And I know what industry needs and wants. This is what they are telling you, okay? And they aren't even shy about it. They aren't even second-guessing. When I share this stuff with them, they say, absolutely, if you can give students these experiences, this is what they need in the 21st century. So I am attached to some of those things, but you simply need to tell me, give me a rational reason why you think that's a bad idea that you were talking about. Okay? Some of them I'm actually not attached to.
That brings up another question. So to what degree is this the roadmap for the, is this the roadmap for what the crazies are doing, or which bubble does this?
Okay. Which page?
So I'm looking at page five, from the middle of page five.
So the first half of the document is for the crazies, the second half is for the family. That's how I kind of lump them together.
Okay. I do think that you, somewhere along the line, you can have maybe an MOU with different departments that are currently existing in the college. Because if someone does want to go in and do the, you know, test for waters with this, and it clearly isn't for them, just like maybe a double E degree isn't clearly for them, and you don't want to set them back. We shouldn't be setting them back. Back should be equivalency in some cases. So I think there needs to be some discussion.
We haven't left out an MOU already. We haven't really left it to give it to them because we don't. Most faculty and department heads want details. We just don't have them. So I haven't assigned the MOU today. I don't think it's going to be done. We do have to do it, and it's probably sooner rather than later. It's probably in weeks rather than months or years, but we're working for it. I totally agree with you.
Right? Yeah. They are part of the discussion. They meet with the department.
We meet with the department. We meet with the department. We meet with the department.
I think, as you all know, sometimes the department has not always grabbed the curriculum committee. So.
Yes.
In some respects, with the conversation, what I heard earlier was we can take these divergent paths, but then as this conversation is going on, it's like we want to come back together again. I worry about that because that's what we do spend a lot of time as this group talking about. What I heard earlier is that there is, in fact, the ability to take different paths. And the way I liken this is that what I think we're unveiling in the fall isn't a semester issue. It's going to the high schools, going to the incoming freshmen and saying, this is a three or four year process. And the one guarantee is that you will graduate from Purdue University with a degree from Purdue University. But on the crazy side, the vision that I have is that it is an experiment. In some ways, it's a charter school within the university, and so we are going to go through this process together, and part of those that get on that bus are those that are experimental enough to know that, as long as the guarantee is they will have a degree from Purdue. Now, will it be college technology? Will it be PPI? I'm not worried about that, and I don't want to get bogged down in the details of that. And so, so as I was listening to Marissa, I worry greatly that I'm not in this box. I don't want to be in this box. And we're not sure. I'm not sure what I think this is going to look like after 4 years. And that I like, because the clinical trial that I'm interested in is this very cross-disciplinary evolving kind of thing, but not touchy-feely. I mean, they are going to have solid technological skills. They're going to have solid CLA skills and those kinds of things. But another group may want to have very much more prescribed, and I think that's okay.
Let me just say something about that. This just came to mind. Maybe you should be thinking about the freshman experience, but just design a kick-ass course. Right? Every curriculum has electives, okay? Just create an unbelievable experience. All your effort into whatever this unbelievable experience is, and whether that's a 2 hour, 3 hour, 5 hours. Again, everyone has three electives in all the curriculum. then that you don't have to worry about what the four-year experience is right now. What you learn out of this fabulous experience can be then integrated into whatever the four-year experience might be. So you might want to.
See, I'm not daunted by the four-year experience. In fact, I'm much more daunted by what you said, because I think as a group, we are good at creating classes, and we could right now create 7 kick-ass classes that would not have what I would consider a PPI experience. And that's what worries me the most, is I'd much rather have the grander experiments and know that we're going to create kick-ass classes and programs along the way.
Maybe you're misinterpreting what is meant by kick-ass. The kick-ass course would have one of these actions, all we want.
No, I understand that. But now, my specific concern is that we are, and my complaint is that we're hell-bent to leather to create some really cool classes. But when we go and when the students who are already, and the parents and teachers are already saying, hey, we want to be part of this come, I think we have to have more to offer than just the kick-ass classes.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, remember, I have to walk before I can run.
I guess 2 points related to that. Now they're kind of tangled together in my mind. One is, I think this list is fantastic. I've also been looking at industry, and part of my research is talking to people working in industry, and this is what they want too. I have a couple little tweaks I would suggest, but we can't do this in one class. The very nature of this is you can't do it within a class, and the very nature of it being transformative is we can't do it within a class, and we can't change the overall culture within a class, and that's part of the problem. So that's one reason that I'm really saying we need the 4-year experience. And then what my original thought was, and my thought from what you were saying, we have to guarantee that those students are going to be safe. And I think what Kirk is saying, the way to guarantee they're safe is to promise that they've got some of us for 4 years. We have to make some, like, administratively some kind of 4-year commitment, rather than trying to make a commitment that will somehow make puzzle pieces that will fit back into the regular program so they can escape again.
So,
I'm not sure.
Ideally, it would be great if you could come up with a 4-year experience.
But even if, and I think Kirk is saying that we could be sort of iteratively designing the 4-year experience as long as we make the promise, and that would be probably a higher level. We made the promise that we keep with this experiment for the duration of the 4 years. Am I correctly understanding you? Which is a different kind of safety net than I think you were talking about when you were on the board there. I mean, is that a possibility?
A few years ago, I taught a class whose final project was to play soccer in the second line. A cool idea, wasn't it? And students should have loved it, but they didn't. They hated it because they had to do a thing that they'd never done, and they had to learn how to do it. And it was my plan to make them do it so that they learn about technology by doing it and failing too. Bottom line, a good chunk of them didn't like it. A good chunk of them hated it. And some of them did pretty well. But one thing I can guarantee, and I got very bad evaluations too. But one thing I can guarantee you is that they will never forget that class in their lives. And I will never forget that class. And I never had more fun than I had in that class. And I think that I did achieve my goal, which was to shake up the tree. Now, I did not shake it up again next year because there were other things that happened. So what am I trying to say with this? It can be done. It can be done. You know, we can risk it. I would like to risk it again. Now I have a justification, actually, to risk it other than that. My personal craziness.
Yeah. So I wanted to say 2 things. First of all, the issue of, is this 1 year, one course, one experience? And this is the question that Kirk asked the very first day that we met with Calvin College. And my answer then, and I think it still is the same, is we will worry about the architectural aspect of it, and you fill in what's inside. So the issue of, again, we will build this is the 3 year and this is how the constraints around it, and then you fill in the classes or whatever they end up. The other aspect that I want Gary for to repeat another is the crazy versus the concrete. That the crazy, this is what we are bound by. The list here, and Marisa said that it's when you ask employers, this is what they say. This is exactly the same thing when you ask students what you would like. You get a very narrow view because they will give you the answer of the things that they know. It doesn't mean that if you present them with something entirely different, they will like it. So we talked about it, and we said that this is something that is a little bit in the traditional, incremental, and I know Gary, you are attached to some of them, but not all of them. Versus everything will have to meet the values that we have that are associated. Yeah, so there are different degrees to which we are bound by them.
So when will we get that framework? So you're saying that you will provide a framework and it is not completely open-ended. So when will...
I don't say that. We can provide you with a proposed rough framework, okay? But you shouldn't necessarily believe that we have the answer. We're not trying to give... We can give you an answer, okay? I prefer not to give you an answer. Okay? We can give you ideas, plant seeds, and then your best judgment comes up with what you think that you need to do. But, again, it depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about this group, my answer is different than this group, right?
Well, if we're talking about the PPI Crazies group, yes. Is that who you were just talking about, Fatma, when you said that you will provide the framework and we're going to fill it in? I mean, I don't mind either answer, but I feel like I'm hearing two different answers.
Well, the idea is that we are providing the, if you would like one, yes, we will provide one. How's that? The thing is, anything that you're willing and ready to do, you step back. If there are some things where you welcome more input, you will give more input. Does it make sense?
This actually is a framework starter.
Yeah.
It's the values.
That's, I guess, what you're saying. You need to own it. And if you think that there's something on here that doesn't work, or you think it's a false premise, then you need to let us know that. But that's how I see it. Okay? There's an ownership here that you have to find out to return to you. You can only do that by some reflection.
Just some questions. I guess from the crazy perspective, where it seems to be very unconstrained, are we still constraining ourselves by the requirements of the university foundational course and the core curriculum and everything else that is resided around that and the 120 credit hour degree?
We have a strong rationale, we can question everything. Where's that handout that I gave you with the president's statement? With the president. I mean, if he's going to say that, he then has to kind of, okay, we think 126 credits is right. We also believe there's a 3-year degree, and we're going to do 15-hour courses, and we're going to have students from 6 different colleges in class.
So the other answer is we push all the limits until they let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we think that, I mean, we will not shortchange the students and say, go ahead and graduate with 60, but if we have a different accounting mechanism that doesn't necessarily align with the 120, we say, here's what it is. If they say no, then we'll be back.
I can't tell you that, when that to the president told us it's a drug, that's not the case. But I'm willing to go to the president and tell them, so this is our best idea, what we need to do to transform our education.
I think, like, I've been with many of these meetings,
there's always a mix of aspirational goals with operational specifics. And what happens is it's difficult to know, okay, here's the goals, but then with all the operational specifics that are coming in, it puts constraints on half to get from where we are to reach those goals. So it feels to me like I'm used to project management, so I want to break it down into tasks and get people on and get moving. So we need to, it feels like we need to kind of put our goals down and then start working at specifics about how to get to those. That's what we would sort of start to do.
Yeah, and I think if you call it goals, you can start with values, right? This is about values, which can be turned into goals in some ways. So, you know, the goal is to make sure that the curriculum addresses the whole person, okay, as it's defined here. You know, that's start self-constraining material using this as a starting point. There's other ideas that you can have. But obviously, at some point, you're going to have to put pencil to paper, if you will. And you're going to have to start doing something. Is it better to put a straw person up, okay, and go at it that way? Or is it better to start with a blank sheet of paper and just start, you know, doing a brain dump? These are the attributes that we'd like to see in the classroom. Both ways work, okay? I mean, what's the group comfortable with? And you just move forward. The thing that, this should be the last one saying this. You've got to take the attitude of no fear, okay? At the end of the day, I'm not going to stretch. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to trust that you're going to do the best you can to do something that is really crazy, okay? And there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. It's an experience that's going to come out of this thing that you do in the fall, and we're going to learn from it. We're going to do better the next time, okay? But we're at least going to be moving down the path. What happens in these situations is that people always talk about having total freedom, but what happens is you end up being paralyzed, right? You paralyze yourself because you aren't used to having this much freedom. You're afraid that you're going to make the wrong decision. You become paralyzed, and then you start making excuses. We can't do that because the university won't let us, okay? We can't do that because we're afraid the students are going to fall, okay? We can't do that because we're going to get a bad evaluation, you know? And all the reasons not to do it start bubbling up. And what you have to do is get to the point where you're comfortable with all those things that could be in your perception bad. And you just have to plow through those feelings. Emotions, just keep on working the problem and working forward. What you have to do is you have to reframe this and constantly look at this as a great opportunity. And I just said this, we had a fairly, what's the word? Not so good leadership meeting last week. Okay. And, you know, I was sitting there up, you know, going on a rant. What's really upsetting about this is that this is a gigantic opportunity. In my, you know, 3 or 4 years in higher ed, like I was 10, I haven't had any opportunity that comes even in the neighborhood of what this opportunity is. And you have to keep on coming back to this. You are the chosen one. Okay, you have the opportunity of the lifetime. Keep on coming back to that. Celebrate the fact that you have this great opportunity. And when you get into these hard times, just sit back, take a deep breath, and say, this is a great opportunity. You don't know the answer, but we're going to work the problem. We're going to get there. And you will. So have no fear. Come to me. Come to Fox, and we'll help you empower you. We'll do everything we can to help you be successful. But I'm dependent on people. I can't do this. I can't do this myself. No, I say this, I'm a salesman. I just went out, you know, and sold, you know, a factory, a bunch of new machinery. Sure as hell helped the machinery. Big check. And so it's an empowering time, but it's a scary time. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to get discouraged. But keep on coming back with that idea. This is a great opportunity. Just keep on moving forward. And you'll get there. I guarantee you that that first day in class, you probably won't be able to sleep the night before because it's going to be so exciting. Not because of fear, it's going to be because of excitement. What you've been able to put together. That's the feeling that you need to come up with. The problem is that you're in an environment that's very safe. Okay? How many in here are worried about the next quarterly report? Okay? Profits and whether you're going to have a job.